Right now on Mason in Ireland.
This is a thing now.
Everybody, the Jorge's Corner.
I don't think Jorge knows about Jorge's Corner.
Oh, really?
So did anyone tell him?
Yeah, Jorge, are you in on this Jorge's Corner thing? Somebody was supposed to communicate that to you.
No, I don't have anything prepped. I don't have anything to talk about today.
Yeah, well, just tell us this thing in your life.
This is Mason's idea of a great bit. Just coming up with a bit that the person doesn't know about.
It's my idea. It's a game of trickery. So, Jorge, just throw us something. Throw us something in your corner today. What's going on in your life?
What do you want me to say?
What's going on in your life?
I don't know. Let me think of something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Give the guy a fighting chance.
Yeah. Come on. I think Jorge's Corner is going to be fantastic.
It will. Just like, give me time to work on it.
Okay. All right. I just want him around.
You always throw me under the bus, man.
Yeah. You could have at least given him a heads up about it.
The whole idea was to throw him under the bus, Lindsay. That was the fun part of it. All right. So
real fun.
Boy, you're chippy today.
No, I just don't think it's cool to throw Jorge under the bus.
It's fun. Everybody throws me under the bus. Why can't I throw other people under the bus?
Yeah,
I live under a bus. My address is under a bus.
Michael's shaking his head in the studio.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
Tell me what do you make of Shohei Ohtani?
Oh, what a freaking freak.
I was going to say, did you think you would ever see somebody who would pitch and hit at the same time?
No, I thought those days were long gone.
It seems to me, Mace, that... And you pointed out the other day that there are a bunch of guys having, big years.
Oh, yeah.
But it seems to me, he's on pace to hit 67 home runs. And last
what?
Night.
Yeah, he's got 31 now.
Wow.
Yeah,
last night, he pitched 7 innings. It's the deepest he's gone into the game, and he allowed 1 run.
So is he the best player in baseball right now?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It's either him or Trout, and they're both on the same team.
That's weird. They're both on the same team.
Or Tatis.
Tatis. Although I don't think he's quite your Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so Mace, that's a hard question, though. If I said you can have Shohei Ohtani moving forward or Fernando Tatis. Ohtani's a little older, a little more injury prone. Tatis, though, has had injuries. Which guy do you take?
If I'm building a franchise, Tatis is my choice.
Why?
Over Shohei Ohtani because he's younger.
How much younger?
You get him younger in ascending play. I don't know how long Shohei Ohtani, who did have a shoulder surgery at some point or an elbow surgery, who knows how long this will go on. It's got to put unbelievable stress on your body. I would take Tatis, I would take Vlad Guerrero Jr. These guys are like 21 years old.
Yeah, he already had an arm injury. I think if he has another one, then you got to just let him hit.
Because the guy can hit a ton. He's going to be in the home run derby. And I think they should start him.
Ohtani is 27, by the way.
27.
I think Tatis is 22, right?
Yeah, I think he is. Fernando Tatis Jr. is. I don't know.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, are you? Yeah. He's younger.
Yeah, but so 5 years is a lot, though.
Yeah,
he's Acuna 22.
Jr., Juan Soto, Vlad Guerrero Jr. I mean, there are a lot. The game has unbelievably.
So this is interesting.
Right,
Fernando Tatis was born on the day, the exact day that I got married.
Which one's a bigger draw?
Ohtani.
So is he the best player in baseball right now?
Yeah, that's a good question. Is he the best player in baseball?
Or
that's weird. They're both on the same team.
Or Tatis?
Tatis, although I don't think he's quite your... Vlad Guerrero Jr.?
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Ohtani, although Tatis has so much swagger. They're both great.
Yeah, he's got personality, boy.
I would build the game around guys like Tatis guys like Vlad Guerrero and guys like Ronald Acuna and guys like Shohei Ohtani. You know, here's what's sad about baseball. You know, the NBA, I would say, if you're a commissioner, do what Adam Silver does. If you're Major League Baseball, you should not be marketing teams. You should be marketing individual stars. The NBA does a fantastic job of that. You know, we all know Dame Lillard. And we all know Chris Paul, and we all know Giannis and LeBron, and the game is marketed through those stars. In the case of baseball, a lot of people, for the very first time, are going to find out, because the All-Star game is actually a tune-in. It does pretty well ratings-wise. A lot of people are going to find out for the first time, hey, there's this guy that both hits and pitches. Why are they not outselling that in promos and in marketing campaigns? I don't get it. I don't get why baseball is so behind in terms of marketing the game.
It's a fair question. although I think they're a little better now. I mean, look at everything they've done with, I mean, you know, people know who Tatis is. He's in a lot of commercials. It seems to me that they're getting better at that.
Yeah, they need to get even better, even better.
They need to get they need to get the hip-hop business behind baseball like it has got behind basketball.
Well, you know what it is, Michael? Well. And this is something that Ireland hates, and I don't think you're a big fan of, but The reason why the NBA sells is that every player, every big player has a brand.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What's wrong with that?
Whether it's Instagram, whether it's Twitter. No, I'm saying it's great for the game that individual players think, I have a brand.
Right.
Sure. I want a brand. Baseball players don't seem to do that.
You're right.
Tatis Jr., I think he's got a brand at this point. But nobody else is out there selling themselves and creating an opportunity to become a sole star.
That's
and
right.
I think until baseball players start recognizing that being a brand is good for the game overall, I think baseball is going to slip behind. John, you don't like the whole brand thing.
Well, I wouldn't be against it now because I think you're right. Baseball is struggling. And it just, you know, for all the reasons they've even admitted it now, they have a huge problem with it. It's just there's not enough action.
Right. Yeah.
So when there is action, they've got to highlight it.
Right. Got to let more personalities out too. Let guys be more flamboyant on the field.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think we've gotten to that point.
Any
right?
unwritten rule in baseball is stupid.
Yeah. No, it really is. All right. So
keep Brian McCann away from the game.
Yeah. He is. He's like the guy in that movie Pleasantville that doesn't want it to go out of black and white.
Play the game right. All right. So it is Global Forgiveness Day.
Yes.
Michael, how are you at forgiving?
I was thinking about this when you brought this up. I have 5 grievances that I've let go.
Okay.
Number one, I've had so many people lie to me so many times with, I'll pay you back.
Yep.
Me too.
We've had nannies steal from us.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, we thought about it. So, you know, what's the point of being mad? Just let it, just forget about it. She stole and left. We've had hotel staff steal from us when we traveled with the boys, stealing their stuff. I go, you know, what's the point of getting mad at it? I was cut from the Lakers by Mike Dunleavy, and I thought I could still contribute mightily, and I didn't hold that against him. We became good buddies up in Portland when he was a coach of the Blazers. And I was cheated out of $210,000 by the Italians, but I still love the Italians.
Wow.
You know, so I try not. You know, obviously there's some things you can't forgive, but for the little stuff, you know, people who owe you money.
So if you let all that stuff go?
Yeah, I guess I'll let it go. And don't harbor any bitterness over that stuff. Just say, oh, well.
See, now, Mason, you of all my friends used to, I don't know if you're still this way, but you used to be somebody who held grudges.
I'm a grudge keeper.
Yeah. Do you still?
Yes.
Like what kind of grudge? Give us an example. If somebody did what to you?
I worked a lot in the movie business without going further into detail, but I owned a small chain of movie theaters at one point, and I developed grudges against the people that were working in the business, and I don't think I will ever let those go.
Like Michael said, that has a lot to do with you don't trust them anymore, and they probably lied to you.
Correct.
Michael, it's the interesting thing about money. I have loaned 3 friends in my lifetime large amounts of money. Mm-hmm. All right, it's like something that they
like. What's large to you?
$5,000.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
okay.
Large.
3 times I've done it. One of the people paid me back religiously, like said, I'm going to send you $100 a week until I pay back every penny of it. And he did. Every week I would get a check for $100 until it totaled up to $5,000. And one time he was like late with it. And I go, look, I really don't care. I believe you. Just pay me back when you can.
Right.
The other two who I was good friends with never paid me back. And now, Michael, I used to hold it against them. Lisa wants me to go after the money.
Really?
What I always said was, look, they must have really needed it. And it's not, you know, all that important to me. But here's the thing. I'm not really friends with them anymore.
Right.
Do
you kind of hold it against them?
I don't reach out to them, and I assume...
And they're probably too embarrassed to reach out to
correct.
You.
Correct. So now they're out. They're basically kind of out of my life.
Right.
Do you miss them?
Yeah, but I feel differently about them. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if they would have talked to me about it and said, hey, look, I know I borrowed this money from you, and I said I was going to pay you back. I've just hit incredibly hard times, but I haven't forgotten about it.
Yeah.
I would be fine. I really don't care about the money as much as... I'm disappointed in how they handled it.
Yeah.
Right, Right.
But I don't hold grudges. I don't, like...
I've held some mighty grudges. Some mighty grudges against people.
I think that eats away at you.
Yeah, not over trivial. You shouldn't hold grudges over trivial stuff, Mace.
TJ Simers once said a bunch of crap about me in his column, and I wouldn't let that go. Eventually, I resolved it.
Yeah.
But TJ was... I wore it as a badge of honor when TJ ripped me in his column. He wrote a whole column once that ripped me head to toe, and it was very funny. And it ended up when I was raising money for... when I said... if the Lakers lose this game, I might walk home from Cleveland. And he goes, and he helped me raise. I ended up raising $35,000 for Autism Speaks, mostly thanks to them.
When I was graduating from Bowling Green, my best friend in college was a guy named Ben Rowe, and Ben came to me and said, and I had already been working. I was doing morning drive in Toledo, and I was doing, surprisingly well. And Ben came to me and said, "Hey, I want to buy the Dairy Queen franchise for Toledo, and I need $14,000 to do it. Can you loan me 10? And for me, at that point, actually at any point, 10 is a gigantic number. 10 is a gigantic number for me. So I did it. And in my head, I assumed I'm never going to see that money again. It's not coming back.
Well, you know what, Michael, you told me that. You and Marcellus both told me that. They said, look, if someone's going to ask you for that much money, you have to be prepared in your own head that you may never get it back.
Right.
And here's the weird thing. 3 years later, sent me a check for $10,000.
Wow. No,
I never asked about it, never brought it up again.
You should have said, hey, where's the interest?
Yeah, where's the interest? Yeah, I'm not going to hit him with the interest.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, obviously, there's some things you can't get over. Obviously,
well,
someone's on some serious stuff against it, cost you to lose your business or something. But for the trivial stuff, you try not to harbor any bitterness, and you try to move on as best
Linz,
you can.
How are you with forgiveness?
I'm trying to think. Like, I don't really have any grudges. I have, like, two minor ones that I could think of. One being this old boss that I had, because he was so mean to me, and he treated me so badly that then when I heard he got let go, I kind of laughed. And I know that's
you
really
You rejoiced?
Mean. Yeah, it was
Schadenfreude.
Yes. I just kind of was just like, ha, sucks to be.
But Mace, do you not believe that when you hold grudges, it actually eats away at you more than the grudge?
That's a good question.
It does.
I think that
Denny Crum, the old Louisville coach, once said, "Forgiveness makes you whole."
Mm-hmm.
I actually think a grudge keeps me alive. I think a grudge can drive me.
I was going to say, you seem like one of those people where you could be fueled by it. But, I mean, it's not like I'm, like, actively, you know, checking in. And then the other person is one of my friends growing up. I have a grudge against her, this big old thing. But, you know, I just feel like it's not like I waste my time, like, checking up on her on, like, social media or anything. Like, but, you know, in the back of my head, I'll always remember that one thing that she did that I'm just like, you kind of suck. You know, as a person.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say it's necessarily like a grudge where I'm like actively wasting my time and energy like hating them.
Right. Jorge, you seem like somebody that holds no grudges ever at any time. Except maybe for me when I snuck in that
when he throws you out of the corner.
No, I like to think this. I don't hold grudges. I just set boundaries. I've had issues with family members over stupid, stupid things. And if they want to talk to me, great. I'll still come in, you know, family places or family dinners, whatever. I'll say hi. But you cross a certain line, I'm setting a boundary. I'm not mad at you or whatever. I just set boundaries, but I don't hold the grudge.
Right. You just say,
I'm just going to sort of
move on from you.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, you know what
well,
you
Well, you only have so much headspace.
Mm-hmm.
And if you waste it on people you can't stand, it's kind of a waste of the headspace.
Right.
You know what I want you to use your headspace for?
He's got a lot of headspace.
The single scariest story I have read this year.
Really?
Yes. Single scariest story. You will be shocked.
So how's it going to do with a ghost like I faced up in Oakland?
Not ghosts. Oh. Not ghosts. Something else.
You just drank too much wine and forgot where you put the glass.
Exactly.
You didn't get no ghost.
You didn't have a ghost. You didn't have a paranormal activity
I'm telling
situation.
You, folks. I'm telling you. Something happened.
Right. Well, I've got a real one coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Oh, hey. My...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Juan's stepdad is excited because England just took a 2-1 lead like in the 104th minute of the Euro 2020.
Yeah, now let me ask you guys about this.
You just ruined it for me, Mace. I was taping it.
Well, we're going to talk about it. Sorry.
You want to talk soccer?
Yeah, no, but Michael, you should watch this game. This game's insane. The two goals in the first half were unbelievable.
Yeah.
So it's worth watching.
But Mason just ruined it for me.
But here's the thing.
Spoiler alert, it's happening right now.
So Harry Kane had a penalty kick. The goalie saved it. And then Kane, who was like five steps in front of everybody else, of course, because he had a penalty kick, just buried the rebound.
He got a
Michael,
second
crack. That guy shouldn't be able to, the guy who takes the penalty kick shouldn't be able to kick in a rebound.
He
like
shouldn't
that,
be the first
he?
One allowed to touch it, right?
Right, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It is a disadvantage for the goalie if he does get a rebound.
Unfair. That was a great save.
Yeah, he made an unbelievable stop, right. And then the rebound kicked back out, and it was outside the box when Kane buried it.
Just another rule you and I would change, Alan, along with offsides.
Yeah. You guys are rule changers. Everything's wrong.
Yeah, but if they put Michael in charge of basketball in rules in the NBA, it would be such a better game.
Games
Although
be over
Lindsay
two
gets
hours.
The award for most negative comment of the day, which is that none of us will be here in 10,000 years.
I'm pretty sure that you guys are the only people that don't agree on that.
No.
Really? Who do you think will be hosting the Mason and Ireland show in 10,000 years?
It's a great question, Michael. Maybe you.
We will be holograms in your living room.
Your ancestors.
Yes, yes. They will be combing through shows that we have done over the years and enjoying the greatest hits.
And maybe that Lindsay Fulton in 10,000 years will be married with kids.
Oh, jeez.
I know
probably
Michael's
not.
Okay, here's the scary story, right? And this is a haunting story. A man in Austria was bitten, I'll just say, in his junk.
Okay.
By a python while he was on the toilet.
What? Oh, it came up through the pipes?
It is believed the reptile escaped his neighbor's home and slithered through the drains and then bit this guy in the junk.
Oh my God.
Is not the freakiest thing ever?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to be able to go to the bathroom for like a week.
No, it's terrifying to me.
Oh, just hold your junk out of it while you're there.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
no,
my God.
That's scariest story of the year for me.
Yeah, they've said that before. That we've heard about snakes coming out through drain pipes, through toilets. They say put some kind of a screen outside, and that'll stop if you have snakes around, that'll stop snakes from getting
Wait a
into
minute,
your pipes.
Are you going to put a screen in your toilet to keep the snakes from popping
I might,
up?
After hearing that story.
All of our
Can't but, be that hard.
All of our pipes are underground, so I don't think the snakes could get to our pipes.
It would be scary as hell.
Yeah,
scary as hell. Hey, Jorge, follow me on the sound page, will you? I wanted to get some Adam Silver in here. Adam Silver did his State of the League press conference,
I hated it.
Why did you hate about it, Mike?
No expansion to Seattle.
Not yet.
Yeah, but we're talking about, 20 years? Me and you will be gone, Ireland.
No. I think that arena is opening this year for the Kraken, the hockey team. Here's what I think is going to happen. And, Michael, I don't think it will take all that long. He didn't rule out expansion. He just said it's not coming next season. I think that they add Seattle and Las Vegas to the west. Mm-hmm. They move Memphis to the east, and you have a perfect number, 32 teams like you do in the NFL, which is great for scheduling.
Don't you need to move two teams to the east, though?
If you have right now, there's 15 and 15.
So wait a minute. So you add Vegas and Seattle.
Yeah.
Boy, Michael, you might be right. Let me do the math.
And then you got to do. So you have to move two teams to the east.
Right. Wait a minute. Hold on. If you take a team out of the west,
which is
Memphis, and move them to the east, now you have 16 in the east.
No,
right?
No. Then you got to move New Orleans over to the east too.
No, not yet.
Because you're adding two to the west.
Yeah, you're adding two to the west.
Yes, you got
to put
two
to the east.
Stay with me, okay? Tell me where my logic breaks down.
Okay.
All right. The first thing you do is you move Memphis to the east. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you have 16 teams in the east and 14 in the west, right?
Huh?
Okay.
Right? Because we had 15.
But wait a minute. We've got 30 teams now.
Correct.
And you're adding two more.
Correct.
So that's 32 teams.
Correct. So stay with me and tell me where I lose you.
Trying.
Okay. You take a team. Right now, it's 15 and 15.
Right.
15 in the West, 15 in the East. You take Memphis out of the West, okay,
yep,
and put him in the East. So now you have 16 in the East and 14
right,
in the West, right?
Yeah. How it's constituted then, now, yeah.
Right. Then you add Las Vegas and Seattle to the West.
Right.
16-16.
No, it does add up. It does add up.
Well, okay.
I think John's math is correct. He drank his Worthy water today. So
I did. Worthy's got this
smarter
this new volcanic Hawaiian water, which he swears is going to make me an unbeatable golfer.
He's an investor? He's an owner?
No, he just drinks a lot of it.
Oh, okay. I just call it Worthy water.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, special water from a volcano.
I thought it was his water. Who cares if he just drinks it?
Yeah.
Because he's got it like imported.
Well, if he owned it, I would have paid a lot less than I paid for that crap.
He supported it if it was his water.
So I want to do a little bit of Adam Silver here. He did his press conference yesterday, a State of the League press conference before the NBA Finals. And here he is on the load management that has now become commonplace during the NBA season.
We'll say, again, this is not something that's been talked a lot about in the context of injuries, but resting is up over 100% this season from last season. And the issue which we're trying to get to the root of is, does resting work, frankly? Does load management work? I mean, and there's different theories out there on it. And what's most surprising, as I said, it's not just about injuries up this season. We've seen this upward trend for several years. And you'd like to believe that with the investment, the level of sophistication, the number of doctors, the amount of analytics we look at, that the data we're able to collect that we couldn't in the old days, that we, putting the pandemic aside, would have seen improvements, and we haven't seen that yet. And so, I mean, part of it, of course, load management or resting, there's an economic impact on that, there's no doubt.
All right, so I'm glad you played that, Mace, because, Michael, you've argued this for a long time.
Yep.
That load management is, to a degree, unnecessary. And, Mace, here's some evidence.
Okay.
The two teams playing in the finals didn't load manage.
Right.
At all. Milwaukee and Phoenix elected not to load manage. Mm-hmm. They played those guys all year long. They were in the best shape, those two teams. One's an old team, Milwaukee. One's a young team, Phoenix. And even the oldest players, guys like Chris Paul and PJ Tucker and Brooke Lopez, have all played full seasons. So why does everyone assume that load management works?
But I think LeBron's point is that it's the amount of time between seasons. So Milwaukee didn't play in the finals last year. Phoenix didn't even make it out of the bubble. So Phoenix had – the bubble was August or July last year?
Yeah,
July.
Phoenix played 8 games in the bubble and then went home after – once the playoffs started.
And then went home. It had a long break between the start.
But Milwaukee played pretty deep in. Played
did
two
Milwaukee
series
play
in
to the Eastern Conference semifinals?
They lost in the semis to Miami.
Yeah. So they also – didn't play the full season. The teams that went deep had serious injuries. I mean, it's just it's undeniable. And they did load manage as much as they could, but teams that didn't play all the way to the finals, so that they had just, 79 days
Mace.
Or 71 days between seasons,
Mace,
those
guys
are the ones with the injuries.
Mace, these guys don't practice anymore, okay? Practice is what wears your body out. Why don't
practice.
You listen to me? It's what you do between games. That's how you get your rest. In the old days, back in the Flintstone days when I played, we used to practice 3 hours between games. They don't do that anymore, and that's smart. These guys get enough rest. They fly overnight now, and they sleep in all day, and they go back to their hotel and leave at their leisure. They don't have to get up at 5 o'clock anymore.
I know you went in a stagecoach.
Listen, we're talking about
but here, Michael, and I don't know if this was load management or injury, but Chris Paul did miss 12 games this year. I don't know if it was load management or it was injury.
It's just injury. You can get hurt. Anybody can get hurt at any time. Come on.
But 12 games isn't very much.
Look, there is a lot of sports science that exists now. And by the way, your son's team,
you know that,
Michael,
if they did this for Aaron Donald, if he played 12 games instead of 16, would you be okay?
Mason
no.
would be, but the Rams wouldn't.
I would
you
not
see that
be
playoff
okay.
game should, in Green Bay?
Then should they do
play?
It in
there's
the NFL,
only,
Mace?
There's only 17 of those.
Yeah,
there are 82 NBA games.
Yeah, but one NFL team for what Aaron Donald does is equal to 100 basketball games. Come on. It's not even a comparison. What football players have to go through is a million times worse than basketball players.
Now
every week.
what surprised me a little bit was the Lakers announced their preseason schedule yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And they're playing six games.
Yeah.
Six preseason games.
Oh, what a waste of time. What a colossal waste of time.
Well, but I mean, LeBron's not going to play a lot in those games.
No.
But that's more than I thought they would play.
Why even do exhibition games?
Rather, let's see what the young guys do. Give the young guys a chance to establish themselves.
And by the way, they go around. Are they doing San Diego again? Are they doing Ontario
no,
again?
No, it's pretty simple this time around. There's three in L.A., and the three road games are Phoenix, Golden State, Sacramento.
Yeah.
There's no There's no Vegas. There's no Ireland. San Diego, no Anaheim.
Please tell us we'll be on those road trips, Ireland.
I think so.
Oh, my goodness.
I talked to one of our bosses, Michael, about a month ago, and he said the plan is to go back to 2019 rules.
Yes.
So
I love going on the road, Mace. You should go on the road with us, Mace. Why don't you come on the road with us?
I would love to go on the road. I went to the Hawaii training camp a couple years ago.
Ireland, if we took Mace on the road with us on the Laker plane, which road trip should he go on? Which city should Mace go with us to?
All right, well, here's how I rank the cities. Miami 1.
Oh, yeah.
Because of the hotel.
Yeah.
Chicago 2. New York 3. Mm-hmm. D.C. 4. Would you rank it different, Michael?
No, that makes sense. 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah,
I would love to go to New York. I'd love to go to Brooklyn.
Well, New York's been fun the last few times we've gone, Mace, because the NBA has tried to lessen travel, so we get the Knicks and the Nets on the same trip.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
nice.
We'll go in on like a Tuesday or Wednesday and then stay till Sunday night.
Then you have a day off to go see Broadway?
You have multiple days off.
Nice.
It's really fun.
You got to come with us to Miami, Mace. See a lot of beautiful
Miami
people
Miami is
down
the
there.
Thing, huh?
Great weather, beautiful
There is
people.
A Sports Club LA connected to the hotel.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
And all the, shall we say, self-employed models work out at the Sports Club LA.
All right. I got two things coming up. By the way, Radio Tinder is at 2:45, so make sure you're here for that. Two things coming up. We've got... David Schwimmer versus Marcel the Monkey. Did you watch the Friends thing?
Yeah, I did.
It's like a battle, David Schwimmer versus Marcel the Monkey. We got that coming up for you. Plus, I'm saving that. Is your life interesting enough for an autobiography? Those two things coming up next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That was the lie.
By the way, that was the lie of the day yesterday.
Yeah.
Judy Gold is a lovely person. She does drop F-bombs. I'm actually releasing a podcast I did with her this week. She does drop F-bombs, but I do not have nightmares about her. That was the lie of the day. And there is a lie. There's going to be a lie somewhere today. Are you guys keeping notes of what might be a lie?
Yes, I think I may have it.
Okay, cool. So, David Schwimmer. Yeah.
Did you see this thing about Stephen Curry's rookie trading card?
No.
What is it?
Valued at... You guys take a guess. What do you think his rookie trading card is valued at as of today?
$50,000.
What do you think, Ireland?
Rookie trading card, $20,000.
Jorge, what do you think?
$6 million.
I saw this.
You know, Lindsay, what'd you say?
$6 million.
How did you know?
Wait,
no, it's not $6 million.
$5.9 million.
No, the F way.
Michael, do you have one?
I think I do.
No way.
Listen, let me tell you a quick little story.
Okay.
Somebody who's a huge Warriors fan. I guess this person has thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cards from NBA players from every era. This person put together five different folders of cards and sent them to Clay. One for him, one for Steph, one for Draymond, and one for Wiggins to pass out to his teammates. You should see some of the cards in these packages, man. I said, Clay, what are you going to do with these? They got to be, if this is worth $5 million, those cards that Clay got a couple of weeks ago, they got to be worth millions.
Get that folder that he gave Clay and put that thing in a safe deposit box and tell Trace and Mikey and those guys, open this in 20 years, it'll be worth something.
Each player got at least 50 cards in these packages, and I said, Clay, you should keep them. But no, they all had the names of who to give them to. I think he's going to take them for his teammates. But Ireland, Mace, Jorge, Lindsay, these cards got to be worth something based on what's going on now in this card business.
$5.9 million.
$5.9 million.
So we got a new guy working with us. His name's Zach. He's a collector. Zach, welcome to the show. What do you think of this, man? Do you have any of these cards, the really super rich ones?
So for example, he's got like Oscar Robertson's rookie card and some of the stuff.
So if it's graded 10 and if it's an exclusive like reflector, then it will be worth a lot more. So
what's
this
a reflector?
Or like, excuse me, I'm trying to remember the name of it.
Like a hologram-looking thing?
Yeah, it could be holographic. Like Pokemon cards are holographic, so they're worth a whole lot. But like, if this is the one out of one, the only one that's made out of this, then that's why it's $6
million. Some of these cards are like from the 60s.
Right.
But if it's one out of one, did one of the actual trading card companies make it, or did somebody else make it?
That's when it makes it exclusive. So if Topps Chrome made just one, that is what increases the entire value of the card.
Yeah. Do we know who has it, Mace? Who has the $6 million card? Or Michael?
Let's see. It's for up for auction.
So I've got some valuable card. Like I have a Steve Carlton rookie card. I just looked it up. It's worth a grand. I've got a Tom Seaver rookie card.
Yeah. Well, LeBron's
$1,250.
LeBron's 2003 rookie card just sold for $5.2 million.
Yeah. Why are we not buying these things?
Wait a minute, Mace. Yours are worth that much, or like people actually bought them for that much? Because I just have a hard time.
No, they're on eBay for that price.
Oh, so they haven't sold for that much? Because my brother and I had this debate all the time. We have tons, like millions of cards. And my dad and my uncles all seem to really overvalue their cards and think that these older cards are worth something when they're really not. It's like the new ones that are just coming out like here and now that are worth all this money.
Well, there is a shop in Beverly Hills that's like the exclusive trading. I've thought about trading my whole collection to them. I just haven't gotten around to it.
You got
to
bring your cards and let Zach value them for you.
Oh, let Zach evaluate. I mean, I've got 200 Frank Thomas rookie cards.
Well, see, I have Shaq's rookie card signed.
Zach, What's that worth, Zach?
If you get it graded, it's going to be worth a lot more.
How much?
If it's like, let's say, graded 10, so that means gem mint, then it could be probably worth $20,000, maybe?
What?
Oh, wow.
$20,000?
I think it might be time to part with this card.
The problem is you can't get them graded because all the companies that do the grading are so backed up, they've completely shut it down.
That's true.
All right.
Wow. Zach, how much do you have in cards? What's the dollar amount, do you think?
So I have a Steph Curry rookie card that's also graded 10. It's only going for $1,000 because it's the basic form from Topps.
Right.
Why is this Steph card going for 5.9?
Because it's probably one out of one. That's how exclusive it is.
One out of one.
There's certain cards, Michael, where they have like a piece of their jersey or part of like the court, like, or whether it's like a crazy foil holographic thing where like they only make one of that card and they put some kind of exclusive piece on it or in it, and that's what makes it worth so much because they only make one of them.
Plus, I look at it like stock. So like I bought a lot of rookie cards from Anthony Davis because a lot of people are like, well, he had a bad season. Watch, if he comes back next season, it's going to go through the roof.
Wow.
So you're speculating by buying Anthony Davis rookie cards?
Yeah.
Wow.
Man.
See, that's smart. That's smart. They are like stocks.
Yeah.
LeBron's card value went down a ton from this season, like from what it was last season.
Why is that?
Because of the way he played and, you know.
Let me real quick do this Schwimmer versus Marcel story.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Schwimmer was on the Friends reunion thing, which I thought was the most underwhelming show I've ever seen. I was expecting so much more. I thought it was kind of boring and kind of sad, and you could have done that on the Kimmel show, had gotten everybody together and done the same thing. But he said some negative things about Marcel the Monkey, who he had for a number of episodes during the first season of Friends. And he was quoted, "I love animals, I love primates, I have nothing against animals. Obviously, it was trained to hit a mark and do its thing right at the perfect time, but what inevitably happened was we would all choreograph bits, and the monkey would mess up and didn't do his job right, so we'd have to reset, and we'd go again because the monkey didn't get it right." Now, Marcel's trainer, and I guess his name is not really Marcel, it's Katie the Monkey.
Okay.
Has come out and said, quote, "I did about 5 episodes, and the first couple episodes, David Schwimmer was pretty good with the monkeys. I think David Schwimmer probably had a little trouble with the monkey, and it's just my opinion. The first couple of episodes, he was pretty friendly with the monkey, and after that, the monkey was getting a lot of laughs. Either it was throwing him off, or Schwimmer was getting jealous. I don't know, one of those two things." whose side are you on here?
Mace, what is the trainer's name, does it say?
Mike Morris.
Mike Morris, shut up. You're a monkey trainer.
Hey. All right? Monkey trainers are people, too.
The monkey doesn't... No one wants... Schwimmer said, why are we killing Schwimmer? All he said is, hey, the monkey screwed up a couple of times, so we had to redo the scenes. This isn't a thing. Why are we standing up for the monkey? Is 2021 so bad now that we are now putting monkeys above people? That's where we've gone? Come on.
Do not attack a friendly primate. Now, can I tell you a story about – let me tell you a monkey story, okay? So I made a movie. There was a brief time in my life where I wanted to work in the movie business, not as an actor, but as like a producer or production guy. So right after Bowling Green, I took a job working on a movie called Monkey Shines. It was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I was making like $500 a week and working 13 days on, one day off. It was a miserable experience. But the monkeys were capuchin monkeys, and they had two of them on the set. They were named, Honey and Bunny. And they were the filthiest little creatures you could possibly imagine. And one time one of the monkeys got away, and I had to go get it. And I'm telling you, those things are disgusting. I am on Schwimmer's side on this. I would not work with a monkey under any circumstance. They're filthy little animals. You shouldn't, by the way, keep – if you're out there right now and you say, oh, my capuchin monkey's really cute, you shouldn't have a capuchin monkey. Monkeys are not meant to be pets.
Yeah, put your monkey in the jungle and shut up.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm on Schwimmer's side here. I'm anti-monkey.
Hey, Michael, somebody just sent me a link to your 79-80 rookie card from Topps.
Yeah.
It is autographed. Mm-hmm. What do you think? How much?
$500.
Mace, what do you think?
I'll say $1,500.
Jorge?
And then Zach.
$800.
What do you think, Zach? You're this card expert.
$800. Zach, what do you think? Michael Thompson's 79-80 Topps rookie card.
Because it's autographed and because he's an NBA champion.
And because I was the best-looking player in the game.
Yes. I would say probably 3,000.
3,000?
3,000.
Wow.
Lindsay, you want to guess?
I would say 10,000 because that's how much Michael's card should be worth. Because, wow. Because he's a gem.
Oh, I wish you were my, right. I wish you were my daughter.
The actual price, not including the $4 shipping, $65.
Oh, that's it?
That's it.
That's only one example of it.
Yeah, I'm sure there are other examples where they're incredibly valuable.
$65.
Yeah. Michael, it all boils down to that number, huh? Yeah,
$65.
And Michael, I think, I can't tell, but I think you're wearing, did you wear puka shells as a rookie with the Blazers?
Tamarind seed shells from the Bahamas.
Yes. You're wearing those in this picture.
Yeah. Style. You had style.
Oh, Mace, he sent it to you, too. It's from a guy named PSA Guy.
$65. Can't even get a hundred. Can a brother get $100?
Nope.
You can ask.
$65.
Sounds like you won't get it.
Lisa's more than $5.
Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we're up and on, up and on, up and on, as Jorge would like to say, and it is Radio Tinder time. Linz, what do you got going for us? Oh, mention your Instagram handle, please.
Yes, sir. Since you forgot, Mace, I just want to say everyone can follow me at Lindsay Baseball on Instagram. Also, on Twitter, I'm going to retweet this post from the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account because it applies to the second story I'm going to read to you guys.
Okay, good.
All right. So Disneyland Paris introduced a new service on Tuesday, which will replace the park's free Fast Pass feature with a paid version. Premier Access, which will launch this summer, will allow parkgoers to reserve space on popular rides like the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, Peter Pan's Flight, and Ratatouille for $8 to $15 each, according to the theme park. The price for each ride will vary based on the attraction and the day and time of day. Would you guys ever pay extra to not have to wait in line at an amusement park? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right big time. I've waited in when the Cars ride came out because my son really liked Cars. I waited for 2.5 hours.
Ooh.
When the Finding Nemo submarine debuted, I waited for 1 hour and 45 minutes. I would do this Mace, this is the same as the carpool lane. If you buy a fast track,
sure,
you get to go faster. I'm all for it.
Yeah, you know, here's the I would be for, I don't want to wait in line if at all possible. But you know what? I've got the means to be able to pay that extra money. A lot of people don't. The fast track machine costs money. The premium that allows you to skip lines costs money. We're basically creating two tiers of people. It really is a haves and have not story, isn't it?
That's why my driver's license has been expired for 10 years. I refuse to go late in line at a DMV.
No. Untrue.
That's right.
Untrue. Michael, I'm sure you could pay somebody to you know, like a bill or two to wait in line for you. And
hey,
and
there's a lot of that.
Give him one of your rookie cards.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Give him a couple of them.
Oh, I just showed up to the highway patrolman when he pulls me over.
Yeah. Hey, I'm handing out rookie cards. $65. Here you go.
Yeah.
I heard a story about Jack Nicholson once. That he got pulled over and he was in the passenger seat and the a friend of his was in the driver's seat. They were in a Porsche and they were going too fast. So the cop pulls him over and he goes, "Oh my gosh, Jack Nicholson." He goes, "You're my mom's favorite actor. Can I get an autograph?" And Jack said, "I'll tell you what, I'll sign anything if you don't make him sign that." And the cop let him go.
Wow. Nice.
That's a good move.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, go ahead, Lynn. Sorry.
All right, it's okay. So New Era, you know, they've had some interesting uniform fails, I feel like, just over the summer with baseball alone. They recently dropped a new snapback hat collection, and Twitter had some fun with it yesterday. It's called the Mixed Font Collection, with which New Era says that you can make a bold statement. I retweeted on Twitter, at Lindsay Baseball, some pictures of the Dodgers and the Angels versions of these hats, which I happen to think are hideous. So
Lindsay,
the hat
tell
is
me,
it,
these are not a joke. These are actual hats.
Completely
you can
real.
Buy?
Yes, and for anyone listening that can't look at it right now, it's a typical MLB team's hat. But then they also have 3 to 4 different fonts spelling out the team's name over top of the logo. So it just looks like, you know, kind of like that ransom font that you'd find a ransom note in.
Yeah, right.
Really big over the front of the hat. And I think that they're hideous. And I can't believe, like you said, John, that these are not a joke. So I guess I kind of know the answer, but would you guys ever buy these or would you ever even wear them if someone gave you one for free?
Oh, my God. I'm swiping left so fast. It's unbelievable.
Michael, you see these hats?
No, I can't see them.
Oh, yeah.
They are awful right now.
Yeah.
They're awful. They overlay the name of the nickname of the team with the team logo. They are absolutely ugly. Why does baseball screw this up? Like the city jerseys in the NBA are always really
bad.
Cool.
What's
wrong
with
come
them?
On, Michael.
They don't look that bad.
They just look like regular baseball caps.
They're awful.
They look
those
like
are a disaster.
They look like somebody got on a wall and painted graffiti on a hat.
It does look like graffiti.
They look
it
like
does
some,
look like graffiti.
I mean, the brim is straight. It's just, isn't bent. I just don't. I think I like them. I like them. I'd wear them.
All right, Michael. All right,
send one to Michael.
Wear one.
Hey,
they'll go well in my Zubas.
You know what? You can buy one of these with one of your rookie cards.
$65.
$65.
They probably cost
you should just carry a stack of Michael Thompson rookie cards.
No, Michael would use a card with that picture he has with him where he was on the boat.
Yeah.
Where he's
fishing. You can tip people with your rookie cards. You can leave one for the housekeeper.
You're right.
Make sure you're just jealous you don't have a rookie card. You can tip people with.
Actually, there are baseball cards that exist me in Ireland.
Yeah. And really? Mason posing shirtless with a bat over his
shirtless.
Shoulder.
Shirtless. Nice. If anybody has that, make sure you tweet it out.
Looking like Jose Canseco. Huh? Remember he did that?
That's exactly who
that's
I was
who
doing
he was
it
mocking.
For.
Yeah.
I was making fun of Jose Canseco. The shot where he had his shirt off and he had the bat behind his neck and he had both arms kind of hanging over.
Oh, he looked good, though.
That's exactly what I did.
Well, you don't think he looked good, Lindsay?
No.
What?
But I mean, I'm not a big Jose Canseco fan.
Yeah, but he was a stud.
I mean, his books were great. I like him because he says stupid things, but, you know, not in the attraction scale.
Guy tells the truth.
Might be the only one.
Next story here. Warriors head coach Steve Kerr was recently interviewed for a new book titled Can't Knock the Hustle by Matt Sullivan, which has been referenced in the past month or so for its details about Kevin Durant. According to the book, Kerr thought Durant was unhappy most of that final season with the Warriors, and he was more interested in trying to defend himself against criticism. Apparently, Kerr encouraged KD to stop paying attention to trolls, but KD just couldn't help it. He was constantly staring at his phone, checking in on GOAT debates, and making sure that he's part of the conversation on Twitter. KD took an excerpt that was tweeted out from this book and replied, quote, "I don't see a problem with me interacting with basketball fans. It should be encouraged." Steve should have also said that I'm never late and I work through every rep in practice with game speed. That should be more interesting than what I do on Twitter. Hmm. Do you agree with Kevin Durant? Swipe left or swipe right?
I've grown to love KD. I love that he gives us lots of stuff to talk about. Yeah. I love that he's we complain all the time about athletes being boring and doing boring press conferences and saying coach speak and all that kind of stuff, saying nothing after game. I find Kevin Durant to be one of the most interesting players in the NBA.
Me too.
I got this from Michael. Michael, you say that KD, despite all the stuff people write and say about him behind his back, you said that he was well-liked with the Warriors.
Oh, they loved
that,
him. It broke their heart when he left.
That you met him a couple of times and he was great to you.
Except for Draymond, right? Didn't they have a
big showdown? No, Draymond. Draymond, like, if you talk to Draymond about him now, he says that's how his relationship is with everybody.
Yep, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Draymond says that if you come to his team, he gets on you because he wants you to be your best. That's how Draymond shows he cares, is that he yells at you.
He's a yellow mace. He treats people the way you treat the help around here.
I do not treat the help like that, Michael. I treat my employees very well.
Yeah.
Hey, breaking news, Jorge. I know we're in the middle of Radio Tinder. Shohei Ohtani just hit home run number 32.
Oh, wow. Man.
Nobody can get this dude out.
Guy is just ripping him. Just
what if
he breaks the
record? Yeah, if he breaks Barry Bonds' record, then he has to get MVP, even if the Angels finish last.
When is he going to be ready for one of them Supermax deals?
That's a good question.
Well, remember, a Supermax deal
in baseball, there's no cap. Yeah. There's no cap, Michael.
Right, that's what I mean. When is he going to get one of those $300 million deals?
Yeah, why in an open market, what would he be worth? Trout got almost 400, right?
He did get 400.
He got 400.
Yeah, so could get half a billion for Ohtani?
The Yankees would give him $500
million? Maybe.
Hopefully he doesn't win the Yankees. Ugh.
I would not. He's 27 years old. He did have a big arm injury. I don't think I would give him $500
million. Yeah, but Mace, these days, athletes are lasting longer in all sports. I mean, look at Tom Brady.
It's true.
45.
You know what he's making this year?
But
$3 million.
$3
million? Yep.
He's the most underpaid athlete in sports.
Yeah, his wife makes 10 times that, so he's doing fine.
What does she do?
Really? What's his wife do?
What is Brady's
next year,
wife
by the
do?
Way,
oh,
making,
I thought you meant
he's making $3 million again next year.
I thought you meant Ohtani.
Oh, you're talking
wife.
About Ohtani or Brady?
Ohtani.
Oh, okay. No, Brady's wife's a supermodel. She makes like $250 million
a year. Yeah, no, we're talking about Ohtani. I didn't know about his wife. Yeah, no, he's in arbitration though. So right now he can go to arbitration for next year.
Can you imagine walking to the arbitrator? The Angels come out. Oh, we'll give him $3 million. And Ohtani goes, I'll take $100 million for next year.
No.
I'd go to arbitration 100%.
No, realistically, the Angels will go into arbitration. We'll give you $15 million, and he's going to come in. He wants $35 million a year.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough arbitration case.
Yeah, I wouldn't sign him long term. I'd give him a couple of years, but I don't think I'd sign him
long term. Well, if he's going to arbitration, that means he's under team control, depending on how many years he's done it for. 3 years? 2 years?
Yeah, right. He's in his second year of arbitration coming up. So after this next year is when he can be a free agent. So, yeah, they'll probably move to sign him. He's the compelling reason to watch an Angels game. All right, Lindsay, we cut you off. Did you have one more?
I do have one more if we have time for it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, it's from our favorite Am I the A-Hole Reddit.
Nice.
This one comes from a writer who says, my father has always been a smart aleck who loves practical jokes and discreetly needling people. My husband has been one of his favorite targets for his stupid pranks and comments about his choice in clothing, hairstyle, shoes, or whatever else stands out. For many years, I've warned my father that my husband disliked him and that his behavior was causing real animosity. It never registered for him until recently when my husband, whom I've previously never seen angry, completely lost it. One moment we were saying hello, then my dad said something and my husband got in his face, shoved him up against the wall, and put a fist straight through the brick wall, all while roaring death threats.
Wow.
My father was absolutely terrified and is now deeply upset and demanding an apology. My husband is completely unrepentant, blames me for not managing my parents, and is refusing to ever speak to or see that side of my family again. Yeah. Am I in the wrong here for asking my husband to deal with my dad? So is this lady the a-hole?
I don't think she is. This is a very sticky situation. If you put a woman in between her husband and her father, no one wins.
Yeah, it's a lose-lose.
So I think that she needs to come at both parties with a spirit of compromise, don't you think, Michael?
Yeah, what did this father-in-law do to make him so mad?
She says he's just always he's pulling practical jokes and teases his wife, his daughter,
well,
the son, guy's wife.
Yeah, the son-in-law, her husband is the a-hole. It's her father. You could tell him as man-to-man, civilly, hey, listen, I don't appreciate that. Please stop it. You don't have to hoist him up by the wall and break the wall and stuff. Gotta be a mature and adult
but,
about it.
But there are some people that just don't get it. I mean, there are breaks in families. I mean, the entire, my entire dad's side of the family, when he passed away, it turned into a really big thing. And I don't talk to any of the Mashonskys.
Yeah, I was going to ask you guys, would you date somebody, if you were dating someone and your family didn't like them, like your parents or like a brother or sister, and they really, really despise each other, would you go on to marry that person regardless of how your family got along with them?
Yeah, I wouldn't hold Lisa's
family against them.
Lisa's got quirky family members. I would never hold that against her. That's not her. That's her family. So, yeah, I would put up with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's got to be something peaceable that can be done. Normally people just suffer each other's company. Both sides need to say, all right, I don't like you, but I'm going to be cordial with you.
It depends on how hot she is, Lindsay.
There you go.
Listen to those two guys. They all try to be all PC and everything.
Michael is 100% right, as usual.
Although, you know what's really funny is a couple of times I had boyfriends and my parents knew them. And when we broke up, my parents said, oh, thank God you got rid of him. Mm-hmm. Like they tell you afterwards that they didn't like them. They didn't say it while you were going together.
Well, believe me, I know that feeling.
Yeah. All right. Coming up next for you, Lindsay has got a list of the most hated athletes in sports. We're going to try to guess them. Coming up next, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.